This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to season 5 of the Conscious Kitchen Podcast. It's been a minute. We've been focused on other projects, like Laura successfully launching the Awaken of Affirmations card deck, and I've been pursuing herbalism, plant medicine, and education. You'll learn more about our lives than you ever have before in the coming weeks. Laura, do you want to tell us what's happening for season 5?
Hey, guys, welcome back. It's your other co-host, Laura. Welcome back. So for season 5, we want to change it up. We want to freshen up and we want to be more just like lighthearted and share more of our personal stories, like real, raw, like life experiences, advice and lessons and just like the real raw juice that like people really want to learn and listen about. And, you know, just for you to thrive and for you to get some insight for the coming years and just like more funny notes. You know, I feel like the time that we're living in right now is so rough. Life can be so difficult and life can be so challenging. So we want to be like your homegirls. We want to be your friend. We want to be someone that you could just come to and listen to for easy listening, to get a laugh, or just to get some really crazy insight. You know, the Conscious Kitchen, we created this podcast because all of our conversations about sex and partying and politics to sexual like advice, all that stuff happened in our kitchen that me and Liz used to live at, the Conscious Kitchen. So, you know, your kitchen is the heart of the home. So that's why our podcast is called The Conscious Kitchen. So, you know, we want to just basically make it lighthearted and just give you guys some real deal good goodies this season, season 5. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Season 5, we are here. We're here. We're so excited to just be in it with you guys. And hey, we're still going to keep it with a conscious conversation. We'll bring on some guests every few episodes. But in the meantime, we're really going to give you guys that information about what you want to know. So what type of things are you Googling? We want to be like that source for you to really get the nitty gritty on experiences, put the discussions on the map. So today we're going to talk about a topic near and dear to my heart. Something I've been wanting to talk about for the podcast for a long time. And it's the difference between making friends in LA and other cities. I'll be sharing my perspective from the East Coaster moving to LA, being truly baffled by some of the quote-unquote friendly interactions I've had in this city. And Laura will be speaking about moving across the world to Europe, Madrid to be exact, giving you the differences in making and keeping friends as a foreigner abroad. You might not agree with all of these, and we encourage you to be a part of the discussion, obviously. So head over to our Instagram, sound off, let's discuss, and let's dive in.
Ooh, I'm excited to talk about friends. Wow. I mean, friends are crazy in general because it's like, I mean, we're in our like mid-30s, Liz, and we're not like, we're in that weird transition where you're like trying to have kids and like also like still living your life and being super selfish. So this is a really good topic because I spend a lot of time with more of my friends and my actual family. So your friends, like essentially, I feel like they become like your chosen family. So this is a good topic today.
Definitely. Okay, well, I'm just going to dive right in. West Coast, I'm going to give you my 4 pros. I'm going to give you my 4 cons. And number one is large amounts of empty promises. I'm going to connect you with X. Just a lot of fluff, you know. It's just one of the things that I've noticed. Hundreds of unfulfilled lunch dates. Let's go to lunch. You meet someone and automatically they want to be like your best friend in a way. And that would be great if it was actually genuine and if it was actually true and it actually came with, you know, those lunch dates that are unfulfilled. So that's definitely one of my things. Sensitive feelings, avoiding confrontations. Definitely LA people, you know, they want to talk fluff. They want to take care of like their emotions. They don't really want to like hash things out. Are we really friends or am I just your plug to X? It's something that I often feel here for sure. It's like, are we friends or am I just your party friend? And I get it. It's like, it's cool to have friends and all these different things, but it's definitely, I just want to know, like if I'm your party friend, just be like, hey, you're my party friend. And if I'm your true friend, then I can treat you differently too. Okay, my 4, those are my cons, right? Hopefully I didn't say those are my pros. So my cons, community-driven mentality, let's collaborate, is so big here in LA. It's like that bond of let's collaborate. It's not a singular path to success and the road to success. So that's really definitely a pro. sisterhood support. Girl gangs run hard on the West. I definitely have found more sisters here than I ever have.
Yeah, right?
Conscious and rich discussions everywhere, anytime. It's definitely, you know, I think in other places you can get caught up talking about things that don't really matter. And here people are really down to dive in deep quickly with you. And I think that that's a great pro. True friends buy each other lunch and a drink sometimes. I'll go into that on my other list, but it's for this, this is definitely something I feel like it's not always pay your way in LA. And I think that that's definitely a great thing. So yeah, so should I go into like my East Coast pros and cons, or do you want to jump into some of your things for LA, Laura?
I would love to unpack a little bit of what you said on the West Coast about like living in Los Angeles.
Okay.
What is something that we could truly unpack? I think I would love to talk about like sisterhood and support and girl gangs.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you with that. I mean, it's really crazy because a good friend of ours is dating. And I feel that I think it also runs with like guys too. Like the brotherhood and like, you know, the guy crews just as much as like the girl gangs. I feel like they're very similar. The reason why I think they're similar is because they're so strong that I feel like friendships in the West Coast is like, they're almost as fulfilling being together, like going out, like going to the beach, like going parties, going to like activations. I think they're just as strong as like romantic relationships. So I feel like that's the reason why it's so hard to date in Los Angeles, is that people are so fulfilled with their girl gang or like guy gang that it nourishes them so much. That's why a lot of people are always like one foot in, one foot out dating. So I feel like that's why a lot of people like don't commit super hard to relationships, because they're so fulfilled by their own friendships. And that's what I think is kind of hard when you're looking for love, but also good if you're just looking for a supportive crew of friends in Los Angeles, you know, West Coast style. So that's definitely a pro and a con mixed together. So I think,
Interesting. Yeah. So it's a little mix of both. Yeah. Thanks for that perspective, Laura. As a LA native, Laura will definitely have, you know, the most insight on that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some people, I mean, if you guys like, I don't know what you guys, tell me about your feelings. If you guys are listening in the West Coast, like drop us a comment, email us at the Conscious Kitchen and let us know your thoughts on that. And also Liz, I'd love to talk about, sensitive feelings and avoiding confrontations. These are definitely the cons part of their list. So let's talk about that. So can we a little bit unpack that?
Yeah, I definitely have found, you know, I think this will tie perfectly when I have a host list, which is on the East Coast. I'm from New Jersey. I am a East Coast native. So we're very direct and blunt. And when something happens, we're down to talk about it. Like we're like down to have that confrontation. And so I think here in my time in LA, I kind of have always come from that perspective that if I have something to like tell my friends, like if they hurt my feelings or they say something incorrect, like I want to talk about it. And I think people here, friends that I've made here, or just people that I've noticed, and even just hearing other people's stories, people avoid confrontation, avoid having these hard discussions because they don't want to rile up their friendship. They don't really want to, they'd rather just keep coasting. I guess it ties in with that California coast in, like, let me just coast through this friendship. But no, it's like, this is how you build strong bases or strong relationships and parts of friendship, is by having these discussions when you disagree, is by working through them instead of just coasting by them and not really, you know, wanting to have that confrontation.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Liz. I think that's a good point because that also is like a common thread with friends of ours. And I feel that, yeah, maybe it is the West Coast part, but also just like, whether it be just like a small frustration, people will still like throw it under the rug. Well, you know, it obviously, we all know that, you know, it's what you don't say is what hurts the relationship than what you do say in the long run.
So true.
So, you know, try to bring up those discussions, y'all.
Yeah, bring them up. So I guess I'll just go into my East Coast then, since they kind of like really ride into one another. So on the East Coast, no fluff, no fake lunch or dinner dates. When plans are made, they're going to happen. And if they don't happen, you're going to hear about it. We're down to like bring that up. Straight to the point. If they like you, you know. If they don't like you, you also know. You just know where you stand with people. A ride or die mentality. Oh, like you're getting into a fight. I got you. Like, I'm there with you. It's like that part of like East Coast is so, it's so ingrained the way we are.
I love that. They're like more scrappy.
So now we'll go into, I think maybe this is like another, I think these are the cons now, or the pros. Individualistic mentality, not a lot of room for collaboration. Everyone is definitely on their own personal grind. Everyone is really like trying to make it very like singularly and really trying to like get there. Where do you work? Will definitely be asked within the first few minutes. People are always like, where do you work? Where do you work? It's really a part of the identity there. It's an important part of who you are. And on the West Coast, sometimes you'll go like, I mean, months with a friend without even knowing what they did. So that's it. That's my East Coast, West Coast. Y'all.
Really cool. Thanks, Liz. All right, guys, we're going to take a little break and stay tuned.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt. Liz here. Let's talk mental health really quick. Who do you talk to help you navigate life's crazy unexpected turns? I had always been an advocate for therapy, but in my 30 years of living, I had never sat down with a therapist myself. That's until a friend recommended BetterHelp. I was curious how a virtual session would work. I've never been a big fan of talking about myself, but my therapist made me feel so comfortable that it was easy to open up my thoughts for discussion and dissection. If you've been curious like me, why not try a virtual session? And we have a special offer for our listeners to get 10% off the first month of BetterHelp. We'll include a link in the description of this episode. And with our exclusive link, you'll get 10% deducted off the package you choose. Take advantage of this great deal and visit betterhelp.com/consciouskitchenpodcast. That's betterhelp.com/consciouskitchenpodcast. Join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Now back to the episode.
All right, Laura, so we're back and we are on you. It's now your turn to tell us about Los Angeles versus Madrid and international, just making friends and keeping friends in different cities.
Okay, guys, it's Laura here, and we're going to be talking about the cons and pros of living in Madrid versus Los Angeles. Liz had some really great points, but I think, you know, I have my own perspective as well since I do live internationally now. It's really a big change. It's really been a huge shift in consciousness, I feel, for me. And I feel like for friendships, they're a really big part of my life. So I'm very happy we're talking about this today. So some of the pros that I feel like living in Spain for 3 years, which was really hard for me when I first moved, a whole year I didn't have friends and it was really, really difficult. So with friends, friends I met through other friends, like introducing me through, you know, at parties or picnics or something, I was really excited that my friends that I cultivated here in Madrid, they're mostly lesbians and they're the gay community, which is really interesting. And it's really cool because I'm not gay, but I love my gay people. So yeah, what I really realized that I love about Spain and in general versus Los Angeles is that my friends here, they're very like humble. They're very humble. And I feel like they don't talk about work so much versus Los Angeles. I feel like they don't talk about work so much. The culture here is very chill. Like versus Los Angeles, I feel like my friends in Los Angeles are always like, go, go, go. They were always like, they couldn't stay still. They were always like onto the next party, onto the next networking event, or even onto the next like kids party. You know, we're in that age where everyone's going to like kids parties. Like they're always like, they always like leave early. My friends in Los Angeles versus my friends here in Madrid, I feel like they're very present, which is crazy. Like they don't have another place to go to. They don't have to be seen at another like cocktail event or a networking event. Like they're here until you literally have to kick them out, which is so interesting. Like,
I love
you know,
that.
Yeah, they're here and they're present and they'll literally be here till 4 a.m, which I really love. I really love that about people from Spain. And a lot of my friends here are international, but they kind of have that same mentality as well. Yeah, and a lot of like pros, I feel like living in Madrid, that people here are very, as I mentioned, they're humble and also just completely genuine. I feel like people are also not as like self-absorbed as they are in Los Angeles. I don't mean to like knock people down, because if you do find a really like fruitful community in Los Angeles, it's like hold on to them for dear life. But but here in Spain, I feel like people are really truly genuine, and I don't know, there's just like less of an ego.
I love that. Yeah, I feel like that would make sense.
Pros here living in Madrid, I feel that what's different is like in Los Angeles, like Liz mentioned in the podcast, like she was talking about how you know, people overact here. And they're always like, hey, like, let's go to lunch, or like, let's do this, or let's do that. Like, kind of like this fluff that kind of is in the air and in language. In Madrid, I feel like people are like, if they meet you right off the, like, when they have a first conversation with you, they'll know exactly if they don't like you, and they won't speak to you. There's like no fronting about it. There's no overacting. It's like, if they don't like you, they don't like you. That's just like the bottom line. And I think that people here are very blunt, and there is no like arrogance. There's no like fluff. And I love that about Spanish culture, and like people that have lived here in a while, they're very upfront. They're very straightforward. I guess kind of similar to your East Coast type of friends, you know? There's no performance act here. People are very humble, and you know, I think that's definitely like a pro. I think a con, let's move over to like the cons about living in Spain and friendships.
Yeah.
People don't get back to you. People are like extremely late here. I feel like if you get like a text from a friend, like you'll get maybe a text back from them like 6 hours later. Or an email, like work culture here. It's very different. Like you're lucky if you get an email back like 2 days later, because people they take their time here. They're very to themselves, and they like are very leisure. And I think that that's just like the hustle grind culture versus what we have in America compared to Europeans. They get on their time when it's their time, and work isn't like suffocating them. And I guess that's a con. Yeah, that's definitely a con. Comparing to what Liz mentioned about also what's really interesting about friendships, people here are the pro, going back to a pro, is that people don't ask where you work here in Spain when you first meet friends. Like, that's kind of rude. But there's a mixture of people that do that. Depends on, like, where you're at and networking events and stuff like that. But off the bat, friends don't ask you about that. It's mostly very lighthearted. People joke a lot here, which is really cool. Like, humor is a big, big thing in Madrid. Like humor, lightheartedness, like, it's not really about that work grind culture. Also, talking about like when you're dining, that's also different. Like bills here are split. You pay your way. Here in Europe, like it's really nice because they have like a credit card machine and they bring it to your table and everyone pays with their phone. So it's not like a credit card. Like people don't pull out their physical like tarjeta. They bring out, they bring your things. So you just literally like Apple Pay, and it's so easy and it's so convenient. And we don't tip here in Europe, so there's no stress. Like, I think that's like one of the biggest like things when you have with friends is like you're at the table, there's tax and tip missing, and there's like a drama. It's like, okay, that's what's really fucked up, I feel like, about America is like you have this epic dinner with your friends, you guys are kind of buzzed, you're kind of drunk, or you're having time of your life, and then boom, you get hit with the bill. Something goes missing, or someone dipped out early and didn't pay. Like, that's a ghetto, y'all. Here in Spain, like, people spit their way. What's interesting about the culture here is that in America, they don't, like, if you're like celebrating something, Liz, if I'm celebrating like a job promotion or like a celebration or birthday, it's like, let me get you a drink. And I feel like here in Spain, like, people don't really do that. They don't really like, they don't like offer like to buy drinks or things like that. Maybe like a beer, but not like a full-on cocktail. It's like, yeah, very interesting. And also another big difference is that with your friends in America, you're taking shots. We take shots in America. I don't know. It's like a thing. We take shots and we drink like hard liquor cocktails. Like Spain, they drink like gin and tonic, but you're not taking shots with your friends here. There is no shot taking
ever.
Here.
Not really.
You don't really see that a lot in the bar. Bar settings with your homies is beers and that's it. Maybe a gin and tonic. If you're going to the club, yes. But the culture here is definitely beers. Like you're not getting too fucked up, which I appreciate. You know?
That's cool. So are we going to be taking shots when we're there?
I doubt it. Yeah. And I think people here, sorry, one more thing to like keep continuing because I feel like this information is very insightful if you ever want to move abroad or anything like that. I think what's cool about it is that like the difference between like Los Angeles cliques, I feel like Los Angeles cliques and like the West Coast can be very, because I'm talking about Los Angeles because I'm from there, but I feel like people can be very territorial over like what you do, who you hang out with, and like very protective and like overprotective. In Spain, I haven't had that. I haven't had that at all. My friends are always like giving love. like super supportive, like super like active on text and like group threads on WhatsApp. Like in LA, I feel like it'd be very dismissive, very jealous sometimes, and very territorial. That's the difference.
So true.
That's a big difference.
I actually forgot about that. But I remember when I first moved here noticing that. And oh my God, I think I just realized that I've started to become that way.
I mean, it's just the real deal. Like, I'm just sorry I'm talking about this, but
yeah, dude. So true. Yeah. So true.
So overall, I really enjoy, like, I love my family that I've cultivated in America, but I really do love my family that I've cultivated here in Europe as well, in Spain in particular, because people are chill, they're supportive, and there's like the ego is like not there. And I appreciate that, especially coming from big cities like Liz talked about, the East Coast and Los Angeles. Like it could be very network, ego driven, like sceney, tech, like clicky, like protective. I don't know. It's a whole thing. It's a whole hierarchy of shit like that. But I definitely think as you get older, you get wiser. So yeah, these are basically all of our pros and cons. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this.
Yeah, good tips. Thanks, Laura. Yeah, you know, and at the end of the day, no matter what city you're from, just try to be a good human. You know, it's be impeccable with your word. If you say you're going to show up somewhere, show up. And if you don't, at least let somebody know, like in an appropriate time, like the day before or something. And you don't have to tell everyone that you want to hang out with them and be their best friend. Like, just be true to yourself, genuine, like just be a good person. So whatever city you're from, be a good friend.
Yeah, the friend circle's great. And it's also word of mouth. And it's also like your energy speaks louder than anything. I think that, you know, as I get older, I would definitely, no matter where you live, don't take things personally at all, because you never know if people like got into a car accident. You don't know if people are not hitting you back because like their dog died or like, you know, they had surgery or something. Like as I get older, it's like, especially going through this like post-COVID era, we have to like not take things personally, understand that people are all going through growing pains and exponential growth. And with that comes a lot of, you know, miscommunication gaps and unanswered text messages or unanswered emails. Like right now, I would just say like, keep your circle tight. Call people if you need to call them and tell them you love them, and don't take anything personally.
Or you do take something personally, have Laura in your mind like saying, don't take it personally, babe, because that is what I have in my mind.
Yeah. And I think that like, I love that people are posting this meme on Instagram right now about, you know, just because you see what they're doing on their stories doesn't mean you can't check in on people. And I think that's so true, because everyone's going through this like dark era of like crazy exponential growth. It's like, check in on your friends, DM them, like, how are you doing? Like, even if it seems like they're like, obviously we know that social media is a charade. It's an act. It's a whole veil of illusion. So it's like, hit up your friends, send them, tell them you love them. I'm telling you, like, I'm still get weirded out by that. Like my good friend Naz here, shout out Naz, homo dog in Spain. She just messaged me yesterday. She's like, she just texted me and my fiance Russ yesterday. And she's like, you guys are like one of the best friends I've ever had. And it's like, she's like, I love you guys. You know? And it's like her transparency and her genuine like message, it still makes me uncomfortable. Like that someone says that and expresses that, and it makes me feel so good, and it like stays with me throughout the week or the month, you know? And it's just like, if don't hold back, like the world is, I mean, time, we have such a short amount of time right now. It's like, don't hold back. Yes. Say what you got to say and tell people you love them more and more and more. That's it.
Awesome.
And just be hella real, y'all.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And like we said, if you disagree or agree with any of our points, please just head over to our Instagram, follow us at The Conscious Kitchen Pod, DM us, and, you know, give us your insights. And Laura, did we set up our Calendly yet?
Yeah, we did. So guys, check us out on calendly.com/ Conscious Kitchen Podcast. And you guys could actually get a session, a 30-minute session with Liz or I for a one-to-one. You know, we're trying to grow our community here on the Conscious Kid podcast this season.
Yeah.
And if you want to just like talk to us about any type of insights or like, you know, Liz is a amazing, amazing, amazing vegan plant-like things living connoisseur. If you want to talk to her about that, I'm a fashion business mentor. If you guys need any advice, we are offering 30 minutes to chat with you. So we're going to add the link below onto this episode. And please be sure to book it, talk to us. We want to be of service to you guys this year. And we just want you guys to just love the podcast, subscribe, share with a friend. Share this episode right this minute to a friend. Send the hyperlink. Email it, text it, whatever you can. If this podcast resonates with you guys, we love you guys. Let's grow. Let's grow this season. Season 5 coming through. We're going to kill it this year.
Yeah. All right. Catch you on the next one.
Bye. Thanks, guys. See you later.